don't just exist. Live live on AWR SID Media.
Exactly, that's what we're talking about, to live your life intentionally. We are going to be talking about how in the New Testament of the Scriptures, grace is a central concept that plays a fundamental role in Christian theology. It is mentioned numerous times throughout the New Testament and is often understood as God's unmerited favor, or undeserved kindness extended to humanity through the sacrificial death and resurrection of Christ Jesus. So we're going to be discussing that very matter, and we invite you to join the conversation +27 73 470 3520. That's the number that you can get in touch with us on as we chat with Umtalawami Mfundisi Chiyiko. Pastor, good afternoon and welcome.
Afternoon, how are you?
No, doing all right, Pastor, doing all right. How do we find you this afternoon?
Yeah, we are okay. I'm happy not to join you this afternoon.
Thank you so much, Mfundisi. So are we, so are we. Pastor, as we can jump into our discussion for this afternoon, can you talk to us what the New Testament teaches about the nature and the origin even of grace?
The New Testament portrays grace as an unmerited favor towards humanity, particularly as evidenced in the salvation of sinners. You know, Christ, he loved us whilst we were yet sinners. Not that we did something, but through his grace, he loved us. So in the New Testament emphasizes that grace is a gift from God, not something that that is earned through human efforts or merit. No.
Okay.
So Christian theology, grace is seen as a central concept in Christianity, so highlighting God's love, mercy, and also forgiveness.
And is its origin found in the New Testament? Where do we get this idea? Is it always been existent from the olden days, or is it something that comes out and gets introduced to humanity in the New Testament?
In the New Testament, it is more amplified. In Old Testament, it's not necessarily there. It does not come outrightly, but it is there. But in the New Testament, like if you read Galatians and also no Romans, you find that it is more amplified there and more vividly. You can read in Ephesians 2, verse 8 up to 9. There it is more clear.
I'm thinking of a passage, for example, John chapter 1 and 17. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth comes by Jesus Christ. It almost suggests that there was no grace in the Old Testament, but you're saying here, not really. We must look at it from a perspective that it was there, but maybe not as avid and not as amplified as it is now with Christ in our presence.
Sorry, you can repeat again?
Ooh, I was just saying that we read the verse, John chapter, I'm not too sure, I had said quite a lot of things. I'm not sure which part you didn't get. I had said that John chapter 1:17 speaks about grace finding its way to us through Christ Jesus and the law by Moses. So I was just wanting to find out, Mfundisi, is that meaning grace was not there in the Old Testament? Or, but like you are bringing it across, it was there, but maybe not as amplified. Christ is then saying he then won. Because it almost suggests that there was no grace in the Old Testament. Christ is the one who then brought it. I don't know. Am I reading it wrong?
Yeah, grace, it was there. But it's just that when we come to New Testament, it is more amplified.
So how do
we... Just get the example from Jonah. Jonah is sent to go and preach to the people of Nineveh. They did not do anything, but Christ, through his love, God, through his love, He sent someone to go and warn them. That is also it's grace.
Maybe what I'm trying to say is, when you look at it, you'll find that you get the existence of grace, like you put it, but it's not named. And one would then wonder, say, if grace has always existed, why is it that the New Testament needs to mention it now? And in saying that, Mfundisi, you bring in the principle of grace to say it exists, therefore it exists. I mean, we've got grace here, like you're saying, in the Old Testament, giving the example of Jonah. Is that the same thing then, that grace is not a uniquely Christian concept? It is found in all other religions and philosophies out there as well? Because I'm sure this idea of mercy and giving second chances is not a uniquely Christian concept.
Grace in Christian theology, it is so important, and it is a gift. So not like in philosophy. In philosophy, like karma and other justice, they involve their grace revolve around earning a reward or facing consequences based on the actions. But when you come to to Christians, it is not end compared to these philosophical concepts. So in Christian in grace is central to Christianity, distinguished from these other religions where salvation is achieved through adherence to rules or to rituals. So while philosophy explores morality and ethics. So their main theme, like these philosophers, it's morality and also ethics. But in Christianity, it is purely a gift from God. You cannot earn it.
What you're raising, Mfundisi, if I'm hearing you well, is not necessarily the presence nor the absence, but the approach. And you're bringing across the fact that we reach maybe the core of the value in that particular worldview is different from Christian. And that's okay. We're not arguing that. But the question is more asking the perspective of presence. Are you saying there is no existence of grace in other worldviews? Because I would argue that maybe that's not so. I can understand when you say that they've got other understandings, that they view be it from a salvific perspective, like you're saying, the issue of works, or is it perhaps in Christianity? Because, I mean, when you say Christianity, yes, we say we're saved by grace through faith, but we're saved for works. Yeah. That's what Ephesians 2:10 says. It brings back that idea of works again. Are you saying grace does not exist in totality because it's a gift of God? I mean, is it not just maybe then an act of understanding of what grace is? Because like you put it, I'm going back again to your example. You gave the example of Jonah. Yeah. We don't have the mention of grace in the story of Jonah, but we see grace at work. Yeah. He goes there to preach a message and God says, fine, I'll give you another chance. That is grace. Are you saying that kind of understanding is not existent in the other worldviews where, yes, it might not be called grace, yes, it might not be coming from God, but they don't have second chances in other religions, is what you're saying, in other worldviews?
It is different. It is different. It may have, it may exist, but it cannot be compared, to what God, to God's grace.
Because?
Because purely, like these philosophers, they also, their understanding of grace, it's like you need to earn.
But that's not always the case. I mean, there are other worldviews where you don't earn.
You need to do something for... Sorry?
That's not always the case, Mdala. Not all worldviews says you must earn the grace. Not all worldviews. Some worldviews don't submit that you need to earn the grace. You can receive a second chance without having earned it. Are you still with us, Elder?
Hello?
Oh, we had lost you there for a second. Welcome back. Yes, Mdala, you can talk to us. Oh, wait, and that's how the pastor vanishes. Pastor Lumuno on the line talking to us this afternoon. We are wanting to understand grace in the New Testament and how unique is that idea of grace from a Christian perspective, really? Is it something that can only be found in Christianity, or can you find it in other places as well? And the elder here arguing that, in actual fact, the approach is different, the implications is different, the gravity is different. Grace might exist in other perspectives, but surely it's not the same thing. And so he's trying to just explain to us what differs between the way God's given us grace and the way it exists in other worldviews. Futhiswami, welcome back.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you were saying,
Milo. I was saying these others, they are, these other philosophers on a worldview, they emphasize on morality and ethics. Their grace, so their grace cannot be compared to what God has is offering to us.
Okay. All right. No, well noted. Well noted. Maybe let's talk a bit about then the role grace plays in the process of salvation. When you take a look at the biblical passages in the New Testament, I mean, I hear you saying the other worldviews have got other areas they focus on. Maybe let's talk about God's grace. What area is it focusing on, and what role is it playing in the process of salvation?
Yeah, grace initiates salvation. It initiates salvation in the sense that salvation is a gift from God, not end through works like Ephesians 2. So when you look at grace, the law it plays, it leads to salvation. When you are given grace from God, it will lead to salvation. So you will be saved from these from this world up to you be saved until you go to what, not to heaven. Those going to heaven, that's our goal. So number two, grace enables faith. Like if you read Romans 12 verse 3, it mentions that God has given us and has given each one a measure of faith, indicating that faith itself is a gift from God. So he gives that, he gives us mercy. Not that we have earned or have worked or have done anything. It comes out from him because he loves us. We don't need to do anything. So his grace, it also empowers us not to live a righteous life. If you are given grace, if God has given you grace, then you are going to live in a righteous life.
Okay.
Sure. And also grace, it ensures salvation is not based on human efforts. Like Galatians 2 verse 21, which emphasizes that righteousness comes through the law. Then Christ died. If righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. Highlighting the centrality of grace in salvation. So you can't do anything for you to be saved, but let God, he does everything for us to be saved.
God does everything for us to be saved. And grace is what you then need. It's not a matter of works. Talk to us about the concept of grace and how it relates to the death and resurrection of Jesus. Is that also coming across as an act of grace?
Yeah, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ are central, not the Christian grace in Christian belief. Through his death on the cross, Christ paid the price for humanity. So it demonstrates God's love and also his grace. Romans 5 verse 8 affirms his relationship, stating that God. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So Christ's resurrection signifies victory for our sin and also death, offering the gift of salvation and also eternal life for all who believes.
Okay. Yeah. What a provision, right? I'm saying, what a provision. No, it's okay. I was just saying a marvelous provision that God has granted us there in giving us that as an option, and actually as a salvation tool for us right there. You speak about favor and unmerited. Can grace be earned? I mean, surely... even if it's present, I'm trying to look at it from a perspective that when you look at the gift of salvation, and you attribute that as the epitome of the act of grace, right? Salvation. And let's look at one of the key verses in salvation. We've got John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We have done nothing to deserve that. He just lavishes that on us. But he then puts conditions. Whosoever will should not perish but have everlasting. So if we don't will, we won't earn, even if it's present and existing all around us, we will not be benefited by that presence of the gift of grace, is it not?
Yes, indeed. You know, grace is given by God, but he has also said, for you to, you know, to be saved, you need to know to believe. So we must be careful with that verse, because it says that, you know, as if we need to do something for us, you know, to be saved. Yeah, when you are following Christianity or the laws, you will follow them so that at least they can guide us, you know, to live a righteous life. So like that verse you know you've quoted, salvation is given for free. But in as much as it is free, we must believe. When we know him, we must believe him so that we live a righteous life and also in harmony with him. Realizing, but not that we want to live a righteous life because we want to be saved. No, but because the one who said, live a righteous life, we believe that he's our friend. Otherwise, if we don't believe in him, then there will be a problem there.
So which one then will be the final answer? Is it that we don't do anything? It's not earned at all? Or it's not earned, but terms and conditions apply? I don't know. I'm just trying to make sense of it, because it seems as though the usual way we purport it, or usually what you hear out there, is that grace just, you are walking down the road and you're minding your own business, and then grace finds you and you're now being abused by grace, so to speak.
What I mean is this: grace is for free. Grace, by its nature, it is unmerited favor from God and cannot be earned through human efforts. It is a gift freely given by God to humanity, irrespective of merit or anything that you deserve or whatever. It is free of charge.
No, free we are getting. No one is arguing the free thing. No one is saying we will pay for it. I'm just saying I need to do something for me to get it. If I don't do that thing I need to do to get it, I will still not get it. Well, is it not true?
No. You don't need to do anything for you to be saved. We do what is right.
No, Mfundis, I read you the verse, Pastor. I read you the verse. The Bible says, if you don't accept, you will not be saved. John 3:16 says, whosoever will be saved. If you don't will, Mfundis, are you saying even those who don't will be saved? According to John 3:16?
Unless those who don't know anything.
No, they know. I'm saying the ones who don't will. The verse is speaking to people. It's a verse coming to people. It's saying, John 3:16, God loves you. He's now given you salvation through the death of Christ. But for you to gain the salvation, you need to will. You need to accept. You need to want it. Otherwise, you won't benefit from it. Is that not the case? The Bible is saying you must accept it. Otherwise, you don't get it.
Yeah, yes, accepting. You need to accept.
But you just said no, Mfundis. Which one is it now? Are you needing to do something or are you not needing to do something? Because for you to accept is to do something. If you don't do that, you don't get it. Or am I missing it?
I don't think so. If I give you something, give you a pen, I have a pen.
Yes.
You didn't ask him my
I get
pen.
That. I'm not denying that. But if I don't accept your pen, do I have your pen even though you gave it to me? Do I have it if I don't accept it?
Let me finish. If I have a pen, I want to give you a pen. Then you say, I don't want the pen. Then the pen will drop down. You have refused, but you have been offered. You have been
I'm not denying about the offering. I'm not denying about the offering. I'm wanting the last part, which you are not getting from me, Mfundisi. I'm saying, like you are saying, if you give me the pen, but I don't take the pen, will I be benefiting from me, you giving me the pen? Or I need to accept it. I need to do something for me to receive the pen from you.
You need not to accept.
Is that not?
It has been given to you.
Is that not doing something? Is that not doing something? My accepting.
It's not doing something.
Mfundisi, let's leave it there.
You just need to receive.
And that's not something. That doesn't count as something.
No, it's not something. Part and parcel of something.
Mfundisi, thank you so much for chatting to us, Pastor Chiyiko. May God bless you. Until we chat again tomorrow.
Thank you.
All righty then. I don't know, friends. What's your take? Is the act of receiving doing something? Or it doesn't count as doing something? I mean, it's just receiving, surely. Does it count as something? I don't know. Talk to us. +27734703520.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.